in our articles of faith, we're now ready for the sixth statement make, and it is concerning the eternal purpose of God. We believe that election is the eternal, personal, unconditional purpose of God according to which He graciously regenerates, sanctifies, and saves lost sinners. That being perfectly constant with the free agency of man, it comprehends all the means in connection with the end. That it is a most glorious display of God's sovereign goodness, being infinitely free, wise, holy, and unchangeable. It utterly excludes boasting, promotes humility, love, prayer, praise, trust in God, and active imitation of His mercy. It, it encourages the use of means in the highest degree, that it may be ascertained by its effects in all who truly believe the gospel, that it is the foundation of Christian assurance, and that to ascertain it with regard to ourselves demands and deserves the utmost diligence. As you can tell by that statement, it says a lot. We will try to cover most of it in an effort to. The eternal purpose of God. Eternal. What do we mean when we say eternal? We believe that election is the eternal, eternal. The word eternal, if you look it up in a reliable dictionary, I prefer the 1828 Webster's dictionary. That's what I mean by reliable. I don't know about the modern dictionary. But the word eternal means forever. Enduring forever, without beginning and without end. God is eternal. He has endured forever. Without beginning and without end. The mind of God is eternal. Just to get off track a moment, thought crossed my mind. out in Silsbee, Texas, where Joe Newell's the pastor, had a conference a couple weeks ago. Brother Hilly was out there, one of the speakers on the conference. But they were assigned the parts of God, the back of God, the hand of God, the feet of God. You get the idea. Well, the mind of God is eternal. That means the mind of God, everything about God is eternal. That is, it endures forever, having no beginning, having no end. That's who God is. Saying that it's hard for us to know, because that's not who we are. We had a beginning point. We're not eternal. We are finite creatures. That means we have limits. Even though some of us may act like we know all things, know everything about everything, we don't know all things. We are finite in what we know. We're finite in wisdom. We're finite in knowledge. We're just finite creatures. There's a limit to our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There's a limit to who we are and what we can do. But not so with God. God is eternal. The purpose of God. So that tells us that God's purposes, His will, His purpose, His decree purpose is eternal. As He is. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 4. These verses that we'll be looking at in here in Ephesians 1, they have a lot to tell us about the will of God, the purpose of God, the decreed purpose of God. And as I remind you as we read it, keep in mind that this is God's will, this is His decreed purpose, and God is eternal. And that's in line with our topic, the eternal purpose of God. Verse 4, a beloved verse, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us, predetermined us, when? Before the foundation of the world, verse 4, predetermined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure, according to His good delight, according to His good purpose, of His will. That word will there simply means of His decreed purpose. Purpose which God purposed and decreed it to be so. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He that abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, that decreed purpose of God, which was hidden, and hidden to men, He hath made known to us. God. If He had made it known, we would be as other men, and we would be yet in our sins and trespasses. But He has made it known to us. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed, decreed, stated in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in whom? In Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. According to God's own decreed purpose and will, He worketh all things according to His counsel. God's, the eternal God, the sovereign God, the one who has forever existed, no beginning, no end. And so are His purposes. So is His purpose. As I said, that's hard for me to fully understand. That's hard for you to fully understand. But because it's God's work, we must believe it. As I said, we are finite creatures. First Corinthians chapter 8 shows us that we are finite creatures, even in that which we know from the Word of God. No man knoweth anything yet as he ought to know it, as he's going to know it. We don't know anything yet. As much as we love certain truths of the Word of God and surrounding our salvation, and surrounding church truth and all these things that God has showed us and has revealed to us, we don't know it yet as we ought, because we're limited, and we're primarily limited by who we are and by this flesh. It tells a lot from us. Now, our statement says, we believe that election is the eternal. We just read verse 4, but we're going to read it. You and I, because God has showed it to us, we love the doctrine of election. But man hates the doctrine of election. And even some, many, saved people hate the doctrine election. And why do they hate the doctrine of election, those that are saved? Why do saved people hate the doctrine of election? Because they don't understand the sovereign God who has the right, the ability, and does choose as He pleases. And is just and doing. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. So we find election in the even in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. We find it in the book of Deuteronomy. We find it in the book of Genesis. God chose Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. All who were dwelling in Ur, the Chaldees, and idolatrous people, Abram included. But God chose Abram from the Ur of the Chaldees. This passage tells us that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God's elect. And not just to the nation of Israel, but God's elect salvation to us Gentiles. Praise God. If that hadn't been so, if that had not have been God's eternal purpose, you and I would not be here today. Not in this church house. Not in church capacity, not as a saved individual. But praise God. He chose His Son to be the door of salvation, even to the Gentiles as well. Turn with me to chapter 65. Chapter 65. And verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. That verse there tells us God has chosen not to destroy all the people because all are sinners, but He's chosen some that are going to be a blessing. There's a blessing in them. And they're blessed of the Lord. So that He's not going to destroy all men, but all who do not believe be destroyed. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people. That have sought me. His people. He has a people that he elected, that he chose. Not just of Israel, but of Gentiles also. And if they are of faith, as Abraham was of faith, then, according to Romans chapter 4, are the Gentiles also of the seed of Abraham. Wow. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? Again, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. Who is the church at Ephesus? Well, they were saved people in the church at Ephesus. And he's speaking concerning the saved then. According as he hath chosen us, saved people. Before the foundation, he chose us. What is God's choosing? It is election. What is election? Election is God's choosing a people to salvation. That we should be, let this sink in, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That ought to move me. That ought to move you. Because God chose me before the foundation of the world to be saved. He chose me unto salvation by Christ Jesus. And He chose me unto salvation to be holy and to be without blame before Him in love. That ought to move us. That ought to move us to do the best we can do to be holy before Him. Read the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Do the Word of God. I get so fed up with the mentality of the saved world today. And they want look at Scripture, and they want to look at it all with a critical eye, and they want to tear it apart and try to analyze it and try to make it say something that it does not say, because they don't want to be bound by its precepts. Are we to be holy or not? And we think it's some kind of alibi to say, well, ain't nobody down here that can be holy. We're still in these sinful bodies, and we know we're going to sin. So we're just going to give up. That's a defeatist attitude. That's a fatalistic attitude. God called us to strive, to labor on perfection. His standard is, be holy as I am holy. The standard is in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 48. As therefore your Father which is in heaven is perfect, so be ye perfect. Yeah. Now we're getting all sanctification. election. But it's there in that verse I had to say. Turn with me to Acts. The book of Acts. Chapter 13. Verse 48. Another verse I love. It really, really explains who it is that's going to believe. This verse tells me there's a people that believe that were chosen to believe before the foundation of the world. And they're the only ones that are going to believe. No one else. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles, Paul and Barnabas, went to the Jews first. That was their operandi. That was the way they worked. They went to the Jew first. They practiced what they preached. To the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. They went to the Jew first. The Jews did not receive the word. So they turned away from the Jews. Because you will not believe our report, you will not believe, we turn to the Gentiles. And they went to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained. That word ordained there means appointed. They were determined. They were appointed. They were appointed of God to eternal life. God, before the foundation of the world, chose them and appointed them to have eternal life. They believed. As many as were appointed. No others. No others. There's no chance of through your preaching and preaching the gospel and declaring the gospel to folks and pleading with them to repent and believe the gospel. There's no chance that you're going to get one person into heaven that doesn't belong there. Only those whom God chose, ordained, appointed them to eternal life, I don't believe. They might not believe today. They might not believe tomorrow. But they are going to believe. And they are going to believe through the preaching of the Word. That's the way God's ordained it. So, turn with me to the book of Romans. I know we know these passages of Scripture. And if you're like me, you love them dearly. But let us not go to seed on them. You see, to go to seed on it is to become hard shell and not declare the gospel to anyone. Because God's chosen a people and, well, they're going to be saved. Doesn't matter whether I tell them or not, they're going to be saved. Well, yes, it does matter because God has ordained that they're going to be saved. He's ordained the means by which they're going to be saved. They're going to be saved through the preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Who is it that loves God? Who are the called according to His purpose that He's talking about? Well, He goes on to explain who they are. For whom He did foreknow. That word kind of means foresee, but it's not the kind of foresee that men think that foresee is. Men today have a tendency to think, well, foresee, that means God could foresee ahead of time. And so, because He could foresee ahead of time that step one was going to believe, he told you. That's not what that word means at all. Nothing like that. It comes from two Greek words. One, for, which means before, and one, to know, which means he knew me before. Let's go further. The word know there gets deeper. The word know there is an intimate knowledge that a husband and wife come together intimately and know one another. That's how God knew me. Before what? Before the foundation of the world. Before I was born. That's how God knew me. Intimately. He knew me intimately. In other words, he knew me with love. As he said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's what he said to Jeremiah. That's what he said to Israel. That's what he said to me. He loved me with an everlasting love. What did we say everlasting? What does eternal mean? Existing forever. No beginning, no end. There's been no beginning or no end to God's love for me. Now, that really ought to cheer us up. That really ought to motivate us. Considering the wretch that I was, concerning sin, concerning the wicked man that I was and am. And God loved me. God loved me, isn't he? What's that do to you? That ought to encourage us to do the best we can in service to him. To live every day to his fullest in honor and glory to him. Because he loves such a wretch as me. I hear preachers talk about the Apostle Paul, his statement that he made about him being a sinner, of whom he was chief. Chiefest of sinners. He's the chiefest of sinners. Well, if Paul was the chiefest, I was right a close second right behind him. Listen. Paul, that's me. There's no greater sinner than I was. I don't know how bad Paul was. I can read some of his testimony, but I don't know how bad, how much worse than that he was. But I know how bad this fellow was. I know all the dark thoughts this fellow had. All the things that this fellow did and does. If you be honest with yourself, you know the same thing about yourself. For he did foreknow. Love that word. He knew me intimately before the world was. He's eternal. Because he's eternal, his love is eternal. So his love for me was eternal. I can't explain it beyond that. I can't explain the eternal love of God for a sinner such as I. He also did predestinate, predetermined, before determined, to be conformed to the image of His Son. This old wicked man I am. He determined before the world was that I should be conformed, brought into conformity to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. I'm glad that's in there. You see, God's election and His predetermining, His decreed purpose is not salvation. It is unto salvation. His calling, however, brings to pass our salvation, which is just a manifestation that God decreed it, purposed it, chose us, predetermined it before the foundation of the world. That mystery of His will that has now been revealed to us. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified, declared to be righteous, declared to be innocent, declared to be without sin, and righteous, having the righteousness of God, the forgiveness of sins, and the righteousness of God. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. I know because of that last statement that one day I'm going to be in glory and I'll have a glorified body, a body that has been sown in corruption, raised incorruptible. It was mortal, but now it's immortal. As I stand before Him, glorified. Oh, this glory that is to be for the saints of God. Chapter 9. Another great passage. Just want to read two verses here right now. 23 and 24. And that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had before prepared unto glory. That verse is declaring the election of God. It's declaring a choosing of God before the world was, to be prepared, made ready for glory. Even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Hallelujah! Praise God again! It wasn't just to the Jews. It was to us Gentiles as well. In the book of John, in chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus talking to His apostles, to His church there. And at this point, it was just the 11. And Judas had gone. And He said, "Ye have not chosen me. You didn't choose me. We didn't choose Him.
it just grips me. I hear these preachers say,
it's up to you now. You've got to make the choice. You've got to make a decision. That, listen, man in his natural state, a sinful nature, he'd never choose God. So Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. If you are chosen one, manifesting that you are a chosen one, going forth, sowing the seed, the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing in fruit, and that fruit which God is pleased to save through the preaching of the word is fruit that remains and abounds to your account. You can ask anything you will of the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, and he'll give it you. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. My goodness, Mike, did you speed these clocks up around here or something? Usually I'm not here working the last couple of days. I think you speeded these clocks up or something. Wow. Verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 1. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. There's that word foreknowledge. There's that word elect again. I'll tell you what, when God shows election in the Word of God, you can see it everywhere, can't you? It's just there, just plain. What do men do with that? Election, truth, God choosing, God ordaining, God predestinating. It all goes to his election. Wow. How do you deny it? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There again, we see the eternal purpose of God. And that is concerning election. Concerning election. And it is eternal. As God is eternal. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Try to wrap this up here fairly quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things Apostle Paul speaking, yes, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to the young preacher, Timothy. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes. Paul was not hard shell. Paul preached and taught the doctrines of grace. That's where we learn most of it from. It's the pen of Paul. And he was not hard shell. He said, I endure all the things I've endured, the persecution, and the imprisonments and the shipwrecks and the beatings and all these things, I endure for the elect's sake. Well, Paul, if the elect are chosen to salvation, and it's the eternal purpose of God, and God is almighty, and none can turn back the purpose of God, then they're going to be saved. What difference does it make whether you tell them or not? They're going to be saved. It matters. Paul realized they were going to be saved by the preaching of the gospel the same way he was saved. Because he was there when Stephen, that day that Stephen was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those Jews ran upon him. Saul of Tarsus was there. I'm standing to his death. And try as he could not get away from the Word of God. And the elect of God, try as they may, they can't get away from the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, it's going to affect salvation in them. That they may also obtain the salvation with Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That word obtain is bring to pass, effect. There's why the Apostle Paul endured all things for the elect's sake. By preaching the gospel, to bring to pass, to effect their salvation, which is in Christ, not in Paul. He preached Paul, preached Christ to him. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Verses 2 and 3, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. There it is, eternal. It was in eternity. It wasn't after the world began. It was before the world began. Before God ever created anything. Eternal, had no beginning, had no ending. As God has forever existed, showed it His purpose for mankind. And I know that's hard to understand, but we must believe it. But hath in due time, at the appointed time in our life, after creation, manifested His Word through preaching. Manifested His Word through preaching. Which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. One more. Matthew 25. Verse 34. Now this is at the judgment of the nations, but I want you to notice the eternal purpose of God in this. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That, when you see that phrase, that's talking about before the world was created. This was prepared of the Father for them. So even in that, we see the eternal purpose of God. Well, we'll